Everyone here this morning, I want to welcome everyone out. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That comes from Psalm 2 and verse 1, as you can see on the screen, but I want to introduce our thoughts this morning from Acts chapter 4 and use a section of verses here to look at some things and then possibly consider answering a question that maybe we've had in times past. I know I have. In Acts chapter 4, mainly through the whole chapter, carrying over a lot from Acts chapter 3 too, but Peter and John had been taken by the Jewish council. They had been put before them. They had been basically placed on trial with those people questioning why they were teaching Jesus Christ, why they were going out and preaching the message of Jesus and Him as the Messiah and all that. They had been threatened to not preach about Jesus any further. They were let go and they were specifically told, don't bring this message around us, our people, or anything like that. And the reason was is because the message was gaining ground. People were believing and they were coming to Jesus Christ and recognizing Him as the Messiah and submitting to the teaching there. And these people were losing their stronghold on the people. The Jewish council, the Jewish rulers were losing their stronghold on the people around them. And so they were threatened to not go preach about Jesus any further. And the apostles' answer was, we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard. And after their release, they go back to some of the believing brethren and they spend time together and they rejoice in certain things that were going on. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 23, they start out for our passage this morning and it says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. They refer back to Psalm chapter 2 in reference to what is going on right now. That passage says in the first three verses, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Have you ever wondered why evil men commit evil deeds? You ever wonder why the wicked do wicked? You ever wonder why some people, it seems, they wake up every day and set their heart on doing evil that day? I have. I've looked around and seen things and go, why on earth would somebody do that? Why would they put so much effort and attention into devising new evil, finding new ways to commit sin and wickedness, and being involved with all these things? Why do they seek out these things? And we're amazed sometimes at the lengths that people will go to find more ways to do evil. I want to make a few points this morning, and I want to try to at least get a grasp of partly why they do what they do. And I want to have admonition for us to make sure we don't fall prey to it and hopefully how to guard ourselves from it. The first thing I want to point out to you this morning is that man's desire for evil has been around a long time. It wasn't invented in the 50s, 60s, 70s. It wasn't invented the 1700s, the 1800s, the 1600s. Go back as far as you want to. It's not a new thing. Man's desire for evil has been here for quite a while. Before the flood, the Scripture records what God saw when He looked down upon His creation in Genesis 6, verse 5 through 6. He says here, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. He was grieved that He had made this creation, and He looks down and He says, every intent of their heart, everything they focus on is evil. And we know what happened. He brought the flood, but wherein eight souls were saved. And he cleansed it, and he took all that out. But it doesn't take long for man to go about seeking to do evil again. You know, the wise man Solomon recorded in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29, he says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." They have sought out many inventions. They just can't wait to find new ways to be involved in sin and wickedness. They seek it out. So we understand that this is not something that's new in our time. And as time goes on, if we're allowed to stay on this earth for an extended period of time, man will continue to seek out new ways and new inventions to be involved in evil and wickedness. Another thing you need to take note and be aware of, and I'm sure you understand this, but let's be clear. Evil men will join together in opposition to God. They will come together and join forces to oppose God and to oppose His people. And a lot of times it's people that will come together that on any other day they might not like each other, but for this cause they'll come together to oppose God and His goodness. In Psalm 83, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult." That word tumult means great uprising, putting a lot of effort into causing clamor and noise and bringing things evil into notice. It says, "And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, 'Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.' For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee." Evil men come together and they will lock arms and lock hands, and they will get together and they will oppose God. And they will fight against His truth. They will fight against His ways, against the Word of God. And we see that happen from time to time. But it was happening back then. And it's been happening. Evil opposes God. Kind of what makes it evil, isn't it? And we'll study about that here in just a minute. Look in Psalm 64 in the first six verses. "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune," or come together and jointly participate. "They commune of laying snares privily. They say, 'Who shall see them?' They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them, and the heart is deep." When we follow after Christ and we follow after God and we look at the Bible and we study and we work hard every day and we try to do what's right, we understand the struggles that we face in fighting sin temptation. The temptation to go do things that are contrary to the Word and God's law. We understand that battle exists within us. There is a spiritual man and a carnal man. And we fight that battle every day. But it looks from the Scriptures here that some don't fight that battle, do they? In fact, they give themselves totally over to it and try to go find new ways to commit evil. And then they go find others and consult among themselves. Sin loves company. Evil loves company. And people committing evil and wicked things find strength in numbers. We find strength in numbers as children of God trying to do what's right. That's why we come here. We lift each other up. I find strength from visiting with people, talking about different struggles that we have. We all do that. But there's strength in numbers on the other side too. And they get together and they spend a lot of time encouraging themselves. They have these secret councils to fight against God's people. John 11 and verse 47, I want you to look at this for a moment. John 11 verse 47, starting there, it says, "Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, 'What do we?'" Now they're talking about Jesus here and the success that he's having by going around and preaching the message. He says, "For this man doeth many miracles." Now let's stop right there for a minute. "This man doeth many miracles." You would think that maybe that might have an effect on them, to where they go, maybe there's something to this guy. Maybe we should listen to him and follow after him. That's not what they did, and that wasn't their purpose. He goes on in verse, the scripture goes on in verse 48, "If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation." We're going to lose our place in society. We're going to lose our power. We're going to lose all this that we've worked to gain and establish if we let this guy who performs miracles continue to teach and preach. So what are we going to do about it? Verse 49 says, "One of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, 'You know nothing at all.'" He says, "You're not understanding what's going on here." He says, "You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us. It is fitting for us. It will profit us. It will move our cause along that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perisheth not." That's what they thought about it. The people in charge thought, "You know what? Might be worth it to kill this guy so that we can save our nation, our place in society, and everything that we have. It will be worth it to kill this guy." Kind of messed up way of thinking, isn't it? But wicked men seek out evil inventions. Wicked men seek out ways to do evil. They consort with one another. So, don't be surprised when the wicked do wicked things. Now, I say that, and I want to qualify that. I didn't say, think that it's okay. I didn't say, become numb to it. I didn't say, try to belittle it or talk it or change it into something that it's not. That's not what I said. What I said was, don't be surprised that they do it. Be appalled at the sin that goes on in the world. Have righteous indignation that comes from God about sin and about evil and about wickedness. Have that. But don't be surprised that they do it. We talked about this the other night. Have y'all heard, some have, y'all heard the fable about the scorpion and the frog? So the scorpion is trying to get to the other side of the river, and he can't swim. He finds a frog, and he says, "Hey, would you take me to the other side of the river?" Frog says, "No, you're going to sting me." Scorpion says, no, I won't, I promise. I just need to, if I could ride on your back and you could get me across the river, I'd really appreciate it. I won't sting you." Frog says, "Okay, but just understand, if we get in the middle of the water and you sting me and I can't swim and I get paralyzed, I'm going down and you're going with me." "I know, it'll be all right, we'll go." So they take off and they head to the other side of the river. And right in the middle, scorpion stings the frog. And as the frog becomes paralyzed and he can't move and he's about to go under, he looks at the scorpion and he said, I told you what was going to happen, and you told me you weren't going to sting me. Why did you do that? And the scorpion's answer was, I'm a scorpion. That's what I do. It was in his nature to do that. And as much as he had convinced the frog and talked to him about, I won't do it, it was still in his nature to sting. People that reject God's word, turn away from his truth, and get together and oppose him, it is in their nature to do wicked. The nature comes from the rejection of God's word. That's what the nature comes from. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. But I want you to look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 8 through 10. We've been told that as time goes on, evil men will be engaged in evil deeds. Daniel 12, verse 8 through 10. Now Daniel has had this vision here. He sees this man on the water, one on one side of the river, one on the other. The guy in the middle, they're talking about this. There's a lot of information coming to Daniel, and it has to do with the days at the end of time and different things like that and what's going to happen in the future. Our purpose is not to discuss that and try to answer that this morning. So stay with me, okay? I want you to look at one specific thing here. Daniel hears all this stuff and he wants to know more. He says, when is all this going to happen? He says, I heard but I understood not. And then I said, oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way. Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Now what that meant was, I know you want to know, but it's not for yours to know right now. But he is going to get told a couple of things that's going to happen as time goes on and as we move on down the line. He says, many will be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly. Sometimes the message of God is just real plain and simple, isn't it? The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. The learning for this study from this passage for this morning is that wicked people do wicked things, and that intent on doing wicked is part of why they don't perceive goodness, because they don't desire it. They don't want to know. They have no desire for what the Almighty God might offer for them. It also says, but the wise shall understand. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, we mentioned a minute ago about the struggle that goes on inside of us between the natural man or carnal man, as he's described many times in the Scripture, and the spiritual man, the one who submits and yields to God and His Word, says, but the natural man, I'm in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Do you know how to become better at discerning things in a spiritual way? Get in the book. That's your answer. Get in the book and study and learn of God's Word. But see, these people aren't doing that. The natural man can't see these things. It's foolishness unto him. How many times have people you ever talked to about the Bible said, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. Just a bunch of stories guys got together and made up. It don't make sense to me. I don't want anything to know about it. They're not going to be able to discern spiritual things because they're not in the book with the heart intent on learning the truth. 1 Samuel 24 and verse 13, Saul is out chasing David, trying to kill him. He goes into a cave. David sneaks up to where he can't tell that he's there, and he cuts a little piece of his garment off. And then Saul goes on his way, and guess what? David feels guilty. He feels bad about it. Because in his mind, he has raised his hand against God's anointed. Now, some people will say, yeah, but Saul's trying to kill him. David's mindset and heart was, that's still God's anointed. How dare I raise my hand against him? And so he comes to the edge of the cave and he hollers out and he gets Saul, his attention. And he holds up that piece of garment and he says, look what I have. You were in my hands. I could have killed you. But he says there in verse 13, as saith the proverb of the ancient, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. His point was, if I was a wicked man, I would have done wicked things and I would have killed you. But I'm not, and my deeds prove me out. My hand shall not be upon thee. John 10 and verse 10. Jesus speaking here says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The thief does what's in the nature of the thief to do. His purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. Again, people that choose wickedness, we really shouldn't be surprised that they engage in wicked deeds. We still need to be upset and angry at it with the righteous indignation that is directed by God. But still, we ask the question, don't we sometimes? Why? Why seek that out? You know, in Proverbs, and I think it's Proverbs 13, verse 15, talks about the way of the transgressors is hard. There's some pleasure in sin that comes along for a while. There's some great enjoyment that comes from sin to the flesh. And we don't do ourselves a favor by not acknowledging that. But over time, a continual life that is lived in wickedness and evil and sin comes to be a hard life. The way of the transgressors is hard. And if they don't ever get what some might call their comeuppance in this life, promise you, the judgment day comes. But why? There's a couple of things about this that I do think point to the why, and we may not understand everything about it, but let's understand a couple of things here for our study this morning. Number one, the refusal to accept the light of God will only allow someone to walk in the pathway of darkness. That's just all there is to it. There's a choice between light and darkness. Which way do we travel? Which way do we seek? What do we follow after? And if I choose to not walk in the light, I walk in darkness. It's that simple. Psalm 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have a song about that, don't we? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. It shows me the way to go. It shows me how to walk in truth and to walk after the ways that God has set forth. But if I don't have that light, then as the scriptures say in other passages, I'm going to stumble. I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to fall. John 8 and verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Okay, so there's a negative showing what's going to have. Let's make that positive and let's see what happens. If it were to say, he that followeth me, you would have to make the backside of that into a negative to where it would say, if he follows me, he doesn't walk in darkness. That's how that works. And then you have also, for those that followeth me not, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Those that would not follow after him and not walk in the light wouldn't have the light of life, would they? So number one, when we understand why someone walks in darkness, we understand it's because they refuse to walk in the light of the Word of God and follow after Him. But the second thing, I asked a friend of mine the other day about if you had to give a real, just quick answer about what causes this. Why do evil men seek out evil? He gave one word. He said pride. That's just plain and simple. It's pride. Because they choose to live after themselves and they refuse to submit to God. And their desire to live after their own wants and desires takes precedence over submission to God and His Word. That's what pride really is. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8 through 12 says, "Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Why is all this stuff going on? Why is someone doing this? I mean, they will not receive the love of the truth. They will not engage in a love of the truth. They will not put effort into fostering a love of the truth in their life. And because of that, salvation is far from them. It says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in righteousness." Now right there, somebody's going to read that and they're going to say, "See, God decided. He made them that way. He forced them to go do that. You didn't read, did you? What happened first? What happened first? They received not the love of the truth. They rejected the love of the truth. They rejected the Word of God. And because of that, a lot of times blindness comes upon these people and God allows that to happen. He doesn't want them to die in their sin. People really misunderstand God a lot, what His intention is, and things about what He desires. They misconstrue His love as an acceptance of evil. And it doesn't work that way. He can't have a relationship with that. Also says in John chapter 3, verse 17 through 20. Now, we all know John 3, 16, right? Because, I mean, we got bumper stickers and t-shirts and all kinds of stuff that we have that. Let's read a little more and see if we can't gain a little better grasp. "For God sent," starting in verse 17 of John 3, "For God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Why is it that a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, those that engage in theft and different things like that, they like nighttime, don't they? Because they have the cover of darkness to hide what they're doing. It's a little easier to hide than it is in the bright light of day. Now, sometimes men are so brazen, they just do it right in the middle of the day and they don't care. But light exposes things. Light sheds truth, especially on our deeds when we start talking about spiritual natures. Luke 19, verse 12 through 14. "He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. Now, this parable is given, and it is pointed directly at the Jews of that time, and it has to do for their rejection of Jesus and the rejection of Him as the Messiah and the rejection of the truth and the teaching. It describes pride very clearly, doesn't it? Isn't this the same attitude that got Satan cast out? I will not have him rule over me. Now, in our day and time and growing up, you might hear someone say, nobody gonna tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. I'm gonna do what I wanna do. Very well. But understand this. The outcome of those who reject the pathway of light and reject the truth of the Word of God isn't good. But you know, walking the pathway of darkness and evil is a choice. Just as we mentioned a while ago in 2 Thessalonians 2. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 16 through 18, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now again, if one were to take that out of context, they would say, the tree doesn't have a choice but to be the tree that it was created in. And therefore, some people were just created that way, that's the way that God made them. They have no choice. We are known by our fruits, he says. But the tree didn't have a say in the matter. Read further. What does it say in Matthew 12? Same guy speaking, talking about tree. He says in Matthew 12, verse 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. He was telling and talking about a tree. He was making a spiritual application out of something that is natural. He wasn't trying to give a biology lesson about trees and how they grow. He was making an application to the lives of men. And he said, you will know them by their fruits. And he went on further to say, we have power. We have choices. We have the ability to either make the tree good or make the tree evil. Our heart and its desires will be shown by the fruit that we bear. Just as the scorpion says, I won't sting, his heart was set on stinging. That was his nature. What is our nature? What is my nature? What is my propensity as I go through life? I have control over that. Now, there's some things that might affect me in different ways that affects you. We've talked about that in times past, how some things might tempt you that don't tempt me. However, some things might tempt me that don't tempt you. We understand that. But at the end of the day, I have control over whether I make this tree or this vessel or this heart good or evil. Matthew 15 and verse 17 through 20 says, do you not yet understand that whatsoever enteth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? Jesus had been questioned by people about his disciples and how they didn't wash their hands. He's answering this question because, see, they are trying to accuse his disciples and his followers as being evil, being sinful, and doing these things that are wrong. He goes on in verse 18, but those things which proceedeth out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. He was very adept at getting these people who were trying to pin him in a corner, turning the tables and pointing out their error and how they were looking at things wrong. You see, you and I get to decide how we tend to our heart, how we work that soil, what we feed it, what we focus on, where we need to put our attention. And if we do those things, then out of a good heart is going to come good fruit. Now, as we mentioned earlier, the end result of those that pursue wickedness and evil, it doesn't end well. Opposing God is a fool's errand. Not smart. You know, we have a saying sometimes about an effort that's, it kind of just seems to be destined for failure. And we'll say things like, he's just trying to push a rope up a hill. Not going to work. It's not how it works. And the same can be said of opposing God and seeking out wickedness. It's not going to end well. There's no profitable end in the outcome of this. Now, Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11 through 13 gives a principle here about maybe why some continue in wickedness. It says, Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Okay. So there's not that exact punishment every time I sin coming down from God. Maybe that's why guys continue, or men and women, continue walking in the pathway of unrighteousness and evil and wickedness. We might see that as a possible excuse, or maybe why they would not see the urgency to change. But look at what he says in verse 12 and 13. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. A delay in punishment should not be confused as a not guilty verdict. And some people think that I didn't get caught, therefore I'm innocent. That's not how it works. Proverbs 11 and verse 21 says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. We understand a day of judgment comes. We understand it's down the road. Down the road might mean this afternoon. Down the road may mean a couple of years from now or 100 years. I don't know. We're not told. In a similar fashion, as Daniel was told, go thy way, we start seeking after this and want to know, and maybe we've been told, go thy way, and just get busy doing the work. But it's coming. You know, Peter talks about some people who laugh and scoff at God because they talked about the end of times, and he says that they go, where's this end of times? It hadn't happened before now, so therefore it's not going to happen. Not real bright. Can't afford to think that way. So back in Acts chapter 4, where we started, they bring this Psalm chapter 2 up. And let's look at Psalm 2, verse 1 through 6 this time. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Go ahead and finish that psalm out on your own time. It continues this thought process. Opposing God doesn't make sense. Opposing God is only going to end up bad for the person that opposes Him. The apostles in Acts chapter 4, they saw this psalm actually kind of come to life. When men came together who on most days would oppose each other, but for this purpose of getting rid of Jesus Christ, they came together to kill the Son of God. in Acts chapter 4 and verse 27. I don't have it on my PowerPoint, but they go on to say, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." Folks, those groups don't like one another, but on this cause they came together. And that's what wicked men will do. We learn through the Scriptures what the apostles here already knew. Wicked men may continue walking in wickedness and darkness. Evil men, and a lot of times those in places of power, will come together to persecute God's people and actively oppose God. But God will have the ultimate victory. God will have the final say. And He will have that victory through Jesus Christ. You and I can have that victory over sin and darkness. We can have our hearts turned where we focus after and walk after the light. We can understand the truths of God's Word and know how to conduct ourselves. We can bring forth good fruit, and we can look forward to the day of judgment and not dread it. But we must submit to God's plan that has been given through Jesus Christ, and we have to walk in the light of Jesus. We have to. Will you make mistakes? Yes, you will. We'll stumble from time to time. We'll make mistakes. But there's a big difference on a heart that is intent on doing good and gets back up and gets back on the pathway of righteousness when they make a mistake versus the heart of those who are intent on seeking out new schemes and inventions to do wicked and actively opposing God and His plan. Are you walking in the light of Jesus this morning? Are you walking after His Word? Have you submitted to Him? Have you obeyed His gospel and are living your life with an effort to follow after the light? Or have you rejected Him and rebelled against His Word? See, that's what He considers rebellion. Back when Saul was given the instruction to go totally destroy a group of people, he changed a few things here and there. He made excuses about why this happened. He blamed others. But the answer later on given to him was that this is viewed as rebellion. Rejecting the Word of God and His plan is viewed as rebellion. And if you've been living in rebellion against God, understand you're walking in darkness. You still have your sins. But God loves you. We talked a little bit how sometimes people confuse the love of God and they say it's an acceptance of sin. That's not the truth. God loves you and He understands that we have sin, but He gave us a remedy for it. That's the key. And we have to obey His gospel and we have to have our sins cleansed in the blood of Christ. And if you haven't done that or don't know how to do that, we'd love to visit with you and study with you about that. Maybe this morning you understand the gospel plan of salvation and you wish to be baptized for remission of sin and go on walking in the life. Go on rejoicing. We have facilities for that this morning. We'd love to do that. If there's one of either class and we can help someone here this morning, please come and take a seat on the front pew while we stand and while we sing.